Hello and welcome. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review every single science fiction book as I read it, when I read it, and no sooner, no later, no set schedule, just as and when I read the book. So, if you want to know more about me or about the podcast, just check out sfbrp.com and check out the wiki where there's lots more information and more information being added all the time. So, first of all, before I get to today's book review, I'd like to just thank people for their book suggestions. Loads of book suggestions are coming in. Lots of people wanting all kinds of different things. And so I've actually started adding more and more books to the sfbrp.com wiki again. So check that out and see if there's some books on there that you like, and other people have, you know, you can see what other people are recommending and things like that, and what I plan on reading in the future. Pretty cool. Also, a few people have been asking how the holiday's going, because I'm on holiday at the moment, and it's going really, really well. Me and my girlfriend, her name's Paula, and we're traveling quite a lot. We've been to Prague and Germany, and I went off to Dublin, although that wasn't as a holiday. That was actually still working. See, because we're actually... I'm a professional juggler, and I often do shows with Paula, and we spend a lot of time, performing together. She does other things as well, but we spend a lot of time working on cruise ships, so it means we actually get paid to fly around the world and visit exotic locations. So that means our idea of a holiday isn't going and visiting exotic locations. It's driving around and camping and things. Well, not so much camping. We've got a van, so we park up in the van in campsites and different places like that. So this holiday isn't just a holiday. It's actually more of a summer tour, because each weekend we're working, or I'm working as a solo performer in a different place. So when we were in the Czech Republic, I actually flew across to Ireland and did a show there, and flew back the next day and carried on our holiday. And last weekend, a few days ago, we were in Bamberg in southern Germany, and for a street show festival and street show competition, which was pretty cool. And we did like 15 shows in 3 days, which is very exhausting. But we did win the first prize there at the competition for the second year in a row, which is pretty cool. Last night we stayed in Jurassic Park. Of course, you're thinking, no, not really Jurassic Park. But no, really Jurassic Park. We're in the Jura region of Bavaria here in southern Germany, which is actually the location with the rocks which the period of the Jurassic was named after, I guess you could put it that way. And we're staying in a town where the first Archaeopteryx fossil was found, the bird dinosaur, that very famous fossil. So, yes, it's an interesting holiday. We're doing lots of different kind of things, gliding and kayaking and cycling and lots of different things like that. So anyway, let's get on to the book review. Thank you very much for all the people asking about the holiday. It is going very well. So the book that I'm going to do tonight is, or today, it's actually in the morning at the moment, but it's by Spider Robinson, because I reviewed Variable Star by Heinlein and Spider Robinson. I liked it a lot. I think I gave it 4 stars, or 3.5, 4 stars, like that. So I said I'd look out for more Spider Robinson solo material. So I found this book in the bookshop, and it's called Callahan's Secret. And I thought, hey, this looks like a comedy novel of some kind. I made a mistake, though. It's not actually a novel. It's actually a collection of 4 short stories, all published in various magazines in the early 1980s. And there's another 2 collections of short stories set in the same world with the same characters before this one. But in the foreword, Spider Robinson actually says, this is not a trilogy. If you want to read the books out of order, if you want to read this book first, you should be able to. So I was like, okay, I'll just read it anyway. And so I started. The world that the book is set in is pretty much our own, except that strange things can happen, like aliens visit and people time travel and animals talk, and there's, you know, all kinds of weird werewolves and, you know, lots of different things going on all the time. But they don't seem to happen everywhere. They seem to happen mainly just in one bar, and that is in a place called Callahan's Bar, or Callahan's Place, run by Michael Callahan and his family, and it's situated just outside of New York, I guess, on Long Island. So the stories themselves are actually told by Jake, who is a musician, and he's a regular at the bar. He's usually quite deeply involved in the stories, although some of them he just hangs out and he's just there and he's playing a minor role, but he always tells the story through his eyes. And the bar is a centre of a very tight-knit group of drinkers who spend most nights there, you know, at the bar, drinking alcohol and chatting and playing games and stuff like that. So quickly going through some of the stories here in Callahan's Secret. There's the first story, I guess, Jake, he meets a lady on the roof of the bar and he falls in love and they have sex and they fall further and further into love. And then he loses the lady to another regular at the bar. And it takes about 50 pages, this first story, but it's actually set in around about maybe an hour or an hour and a half of narrative there. So, and we meet talking dogs and aliens along the way. Quite interesting story. The second story tells of Jake. He breaks his guitar in half and then he goes on a massive bender to commiserate and suffers the consequences. It's more of a sort of fantasy kind of paranormal kind of story rather than a science fiction one, that one. The third story, I think, was pretty much the weakest of the four stories in the book, I reckon. It was very little science fiction or any fantasy or anything in like that compared to the rest of the book. It's just like the author, Spider Robinson, obviously he just got excited about like a new toy that he's got at home, like, and he just, you know, it was new back in the early 1980s, and now it's very, very old and very, very common technology. But back then, it's just a story about going, hey, this is cool. So, actually, because it's a home computer, I might as well just read this at the back. It's from the period of science fiction this book is written, where the authors say that they wrote it on a computer as though it's something special. He goes, this book was written on an Apple 512K Macintosh computer named Anne, and using MacWrite 2.2 and 4.2 software, and he actually writes down the names. He actually credits the people who wrote the software that he wrote his book on. I just can't imagine reading that in the back of a book these days. It's like, oh yes, I wrote this on my PC laptop using OpenOffice and written by the OpenOffice community. Anyway, it's just it's one of those strange little time capsules in the back of the book where authors were really excited about using computers. So yeah, that's what the third story is about, pretty much, computers and stuff. And then the last story, I guess, is a continuation of the first story, and it wraps up the story of Jake and of Michael and his family and Jake's, you know, love interest and the alien character and other things as well. I'd go into it more, but again, it's because it's towards the end of the book. I don't really want to spoil the plot for anyone. I'd just say that it involves possibility of thermonuclear war or worse. Dum, dum, dum. So anyway, let's do a quick wrap-up of some of the stories there. Again, because they're all short stories, if I talked any more about them, I'd spoil them individually. So next up, the characters. I guess, like Variable Star, our protagonist, our main character, is a very competent musician, which, again, in Variable Star, I found that a bit strange that it's a story set in space but with a musician. I quite liked it. I thought it was quite an interesting way because it sort of brought something different to Variable Star, which obviously Heinlein wouldn't do because he'd have used an engineer as the star of the book. And here we have a musician. Of course, I'd want to read more books by Spider Robinson to see if this is something he does all the time. It's like, okay, like Heinlein, every book that he wrote, like all these juveniles or people who are really interested in engineering and really interested in this because he was an engineer. I'm thinking maybe Spider Robinson does the same with being a musician. The character of Jake, though, our main character, he's not really fleshed out very well in this book, but I guess it's because there's two previous installments with the same characters. And all the other characters as well, they seem to come and go, but you don't really get to know any of them except the ones which, you know, these stories are actually about, like Mickey Finn the alien. You sort of you know, you get to know him quite well in the first and last stories in the book. But I guess Jake as well, what I didn't like about Jake, the main character, is that other characters talk about him in different ways than he talks about himself. Like at the end of the book, or near the end of the book, he's told he's the happiest person in the bar, when for two or three stories in this book he has been completely miserable. You know, his guitar broken, he lost his girl and things like that, and he was devastated by that, and yet at the end I'm told he's the happiest person there. I just didn't believe it. There was other characters who seemed a lot more convincingly happy than him. And also, I guess for a book that's meant to stand up as a good book apart from the other two in the series, well, that's what Spider Robinson said, I wasn't really convinced. You know, at the end of it, the characters didn't interest me enough. Like, there's massive peril at the end, and I was just like, huh. You know, I didn't really care if they won or lost in the end of the book at all, which is a bit of a pity. Maybe if I'd read the previous two books, I would have liked and been more engaged with the characters. Let's talk a bit about the writing style, I guess, because this is like written as a comic tale with comic characters doing funny things. And here, I'm really torn between liking this style of writing and really disliking other parts of his writing, because I really like things where you know, where Jake is just telling his story. Like, I'm doing this, and I did this, and I did this, and I felt this, and I saw that, and I thought this about that, and I thought it was this, but it turned out to be that. And I really like all of that because it's actually funny. It's actually engaging. The turns of phrase that Spider Robinson uses is really interesting. What I don't like is that the things that Jake and the other characters in the bar, I don't really like what they say at all. They're meant to be really funny characters. And I just didn't find them funny. Each night in the bar, there's a different theme night. So there's Tall Story Night, where they tell the funniest tall stories. And then there's Pun Day Night, where they come up with puns on a theme. And I guess generally they're meant to be clever and very witty people. I just found the comedy that was spoken by the characters completely tedious. And I think it comes down to two things here. One is that I think stories about funny people being funny aren't very funny. Like, if you pick any film that's made about or written about a comedian, it's not just starring a comedian, but it's written about a comedian. They're not very funny films. The latest one I saw, I guess, was Man of the Year. And the whole setup is Robin Williams doing a spoken bit to the TV, like Jon Stewart, I guess. Except Jon Stewart's actually funny. And in the film, we see, like, reaction shots of the audience laughing. And at home, Polo and I were just sort of sighing, going, like that, because it wasn't actually all that funny. Same in this book. The character will say something, and we're told that everyone laughs really hard, and they're rolling around, and they have to leave the room because they're just laughing so hard. And on the inside, I'm just not even smiling. I'm not even grinning to myself or laughing. I'm just going, oh, that was meant to be funny, and I just didn't get it at all. The second thing is that because a lot of it plays on puns, I just don't find puns very funny when written. Because spoken in conversation and as jokes, yeah, I really like it. And I've had the same kind of conversations as are written in this book, like coming up with lots of puns around a common theme and just like knocking them backwards and forwards between friends. I've done that myself. But when they're written down, you sort of read them and then you stop and then you read them again, silent to yourself, and they're just not worth it. If they just jump off the page, they'd be worth it, but they're not, except the ones that are written just by Jake not telling what other characters say, you know, which aren't written about somebody saying it, which are just written in the text. Those I actually found, you know, quite more subtle, and I found myself grinning at them. So again, it's that dichotomy there, what the characters say and what Jake says in his narration, one I find tedious and one I find actually quite delightful. The other thing that happens in the bar is there's a riddle night where they, I think it's mainly talked about in the second and the third story in the book there. One character writes up riddles and other people solve them. Except that Spider Robinson has obviously written the characters who know the answer beforehand, and he's written the characters who don't know the answer beforehand. So he writes the riddles, Spider Robinson writes the riddles, and then he writes the answers, or he writes the characters coming up with the answers, but he doesn't say, oh, Jake thought this, or I thought this and did this, and then it led through there, and this came into my mind, and I connected the dots, and click, and there it was, and I realised that. He doesn't do that at all. He just lists the answers. And I really didn't like that at all, because it's like these really clever characters, these really funny characters, you're never told how they come up with a joke or what they're thinking when they come up with a riddle or come up with the answer to a riddle. It's just stated, and it just falls flat for me on the page. It's very, very uninteresting. And another thing is that all these puns and the riddles and tall tales is that the story seems to concentrate on them instead of getting on with the story. There's like three pages to set up like a clever, you know, but stupid and clever yet stupid pointless pun. And it wasn't really worth it. It wasn't interesting to read it. And then there's another two pages setting up riddles and another three pages of someone answering all the riddles. And it just wore me down. I think it's mainly because these short stories were first published in a magazine. And if they're published in a magazine, great, because, yeah, it's like a short story, and you read it through, and there's an interesting part, is the riddles, and then the story itself isn't the main thing that you're getting at. But in a novel, or what's presented as a novel, it's not even presented as a collection of short stories, it's presented as like a little novel there. I just get on with it, really. I just want to get on with the story. It's much more interesting to me. And also, a final thing, actually, which I found quite interesting, again, one of these little time capsule things of technology in the 1980s, is that there's a set of riddles that are set in the story, set out in the, I think, the second story, and they're set unsolved. And these are the hard ones that the characters in the book couldn't solve right away, although the one at the top was, I think, actually the easiest of all of the riddles in the whole book there. And Spider Robinson included his address in the original magazine for people to send in their guesses or to send in their answers to him. And this leads to, actually, like I say, the most interesting part of the book for me, where he goes on to another author's note, for which lasts for about 4 or 5 pages, about how he got like 1,000 replies in and he had to reply to 800 of them back. So he had to type something out, photocopy it 500 times, type something else out, photocopy it 800 times. And then, you know, because he was Canadian and he didn't have Canadian stamps, so he was going backwards and forwards across America and Canada, sorting out international postage and licking hundreds of stamps and envelopes and much, much, much more like that. And as I said, written in, I think, 1985, this book. So well before email becomes like the personal correspondence method that everyone uses. And today he could have just done the whole thing in pretty much less than an hour, just going click, 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 write up a thing, send all to here, click, 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 done. And I thought that was very interesting how different it is now, and I like that little time capsule, so especially because story number 3, which follows this author's note, is the one which has a very, very early use of the internet. And I've noticed that very, very few science fiction authors in the 1980s saw the internet coming. Even in the early 1990s, saw which way that things were going to go with personal computing and the internet. And so after Spider Robinson talking so long and going into so much depth about all the troubles that he had about writing letters backwards and forwards, he could have just gone, that's a good topic of a story, but he doesn't see that far ahead. I mean, nobody did. I'm not blaming Spider Robinson. I just think it's one of those strange things that how few people actually saw the way the internet was going to go and how big it was going to become. Oh, also, again, in that author's note, I found out that Spider Robinson's wife is called Jean or Jeannie. So I said in my Varial Star review that I found it really creepy how Spider Robinson was naming the love interests in his book, Variable Star, after Heinlein's wife, who's called Virginia. But now I stand corrected, because I think the character was called Ginny with a J, not a G, so it could have been a reference to his own wife. So, Spider Robinson, not as creepy as I thought, even with a name like that. So, moving on, what's the next thing here? Oh yeah, themes in the book. I guess the main theme is, look how clever Spider Robinson is, which I guess is fine, because he's obviously quite clever, and he wrote these to be published in a magazine as little cool, clever stories, because that's what you like in magazines, really, isn't it? You want the short, clever stories there. But there are some other, you know, some other themes, but I'm just not convinced that they're as important as the puns and the tall stories and the riddles are in the books. I guess one of the main things, one of the main themes that I picked up from the book is how good it must be to be a raging alcoholic and spend all your night, every night in a bar with lots of friends who are also alcoholics and drink. And like the solution pretty much to every problem, even the solution to the problem of impending thermonuclear war and alien invasion, is pretty much to go around to the pub and drink, or have sex, but generally go around and drink, I guess. So, really, anything else to say about this book? I guess if I'd read it in a magazine as a series of short stories, or if I'd read the first 2 books, I would have enjoyed it much, much more. Maybe. I don't know. But the thing is, I just find collections of short stories, they're not always that interesting, you know. Like, for 50 pages, they can be interesting, but for 200 pages, like for 4 tied in a row, I don't really consider that a good novel. It's just shorter, lots of short stories. And I just don't think these short stories would have been good enough to be included in a sort of generic sort of collection of lots of different authors, get them works together, publish it as an anthology. These aren't that good quality of short stories. So, just not particularly good. Or suited to each other, maybe. I don't know. So overall, I'm going to give this book about 2.5 stars out of 5, meaning it's average, probably quite forgettable in the long run, but I didn't find it particularly bad. I guess it's just this style of short story collection, or maybe even this style of humour, like being told how clever people are and how good they are at saying puns and stuff like that. Just not really my style. But if it is your style, maybe you'd like this. I'd suggest you check out the other Callahan books. Let me just quickly look in the front of this, where it'll probably say which other books have been published by the same author. I guess we have... Oh, this is good. There's Callahan's Cross Time Saloon, I guess, is one of the other Callahan's. Callahan's Secret. Oh, no, that's this one. Callahan and Company. Callahan Touch. Callahan Legacy, Callahan Chronicles, Callahan's Key. Well, I didn't realise there were so many. In the front of the book it says this is the third and final one, but I guess this is a later publishing. So Spider Robinson went on to publish a lot more than that, I guess. So Next book that I'm going to read, I have it in front of me, is called The Last Legends of Earth, and it's by A.A. Atanasio. Atanasio. I've never actually said that word. It's one of those words that you sort of just read and don't actually bother looking at again. So, yeah, I actually started it like last night. Oh, no, two nights ago, actually, and got maybe about 20 pages in. And I turned to Polo and I said, in bed last night, I think I've read this before. And then half a page later, I spotted a line which had actually inspired me to write a piece of music when I was studying music composition in my music course at university. So I know I've actually read this book before, but it was probably back before 2001, thinking back that long. So I can't remember any of it except a few of these lines. One of the first chapters is called If Zero Could Shut Its Mouth. And I was like, oh, yeah, I recognise that word. And there's another few pieces. But I'll talk about it more next episode, whenever it's going to be. I'm going to be busy this weekend, another Street Show Festival, but I'll probably be able to finish the book by then, or by next week anyway. So that's the next book. And that's about it. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. See you next time.